following message is from New Life Gillette series At the Movies. This week, Pastor Mike presents part three of this series.
Good morning. Today's scripture reading is from John 5, 1 through 9a. Afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days. Inside the city, near the sheep gate, was the pool of Bethesda with five covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on the porches. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, "Would you like to get well?" "I can't, sir," the sick man said, "for I have no one to put me in the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me." Jesus told him, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk." Instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. This is God's word.
How's that new black doing?
Jimmy.
Leg seems better. Still a little skittish.
We'll keep an eye on him.
He'll be okay.
Thinking I'd take him out and check a fence line after breakfast?
It's almost ready.
What have we got for music? There it is, eh?
Oh boy.
Yeah. For me?
Yeah.
You wanna come dance with me? Yeah, you like that so much, don't you? There's grandma and grandpa.
We got you, Noah.
We're a man for me.
I see you. I see you. Oh, handsome. James. Where's George going? Where's James?
Does it ever feel to you like life is just a long list of things that you've lost? It's one of the reasons that I can't comprehend what it would be like to try to shoulder the weight of the pain of this world without knowing there's a God who loves us. Psalm 147:3 says, "God heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." The pain of this world is one of the reasons that I can't imagine what it would look like to think this world is all there is. The good news is that what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory He will reveal to us later. We need hope that is bigger than this world. Have you ever been in a place that you were begging God for help, and instead of giving you the help that you ask for, He gives you something better? He gives you hope. Hope feeds our faith. It grows our faith. But if God were to simply give us our physical needs, He would really just be getting us through the day. This physical world can give you some hope, but eventually it will run out. It's temporary. All the happiness that this world has to offer will fade away. A hobby can make you happy for a while, but you'll get bored of it, or your body won't allow you to do it anymore. The pursuit of wealth or fame or power, none of it can make you happy forever. If this world is all there is, even our families will have divisions and will come to an end. A lot of us spend a lot of time fantasizing about having something that we don't have or being with someone who we can't be with. We long for the perfect relationship or for the perfect marriage. There is no romantic love that can keep you satisfied forever. Can I say that again? There is no romantic love that can keep you satisfied forever. No, only God can satisfy you eternally. And when this life is hard, I find hope in God, in God's promise of eternal love. In the movie, after James died, his widow, Lorna, got remarried. But it turns out the man she married wasn't such a good guy.
Until death do us part.
Until death do us part.
By the power vested in me by the state of Montana, I now pronounce you man and wife. You may kiss the bride. Thank you, sir.
Think I will. Congratulations.
Thanks, sir.
You want some cake, huh?
Mama B.
He isn't far, just in town.
He isn't here. It's not for you. Lorna! Lorna! Hello?
Who are you looking for? You're the girl's mother?
No, I'm... Lorna was married to my son. The little boy's my grandson.
Well, you missed him. Gone now.
Gone?
Gone to his family. Took off last night.
Wait. His family? Donnie's? They mentioned when they'd be back?
No time soon, be my guess. Took all they had.
Hit at any place in particular?
Sit down, George.
At my last meal?
I'm going to get Jimmy. Bring him home to live with us.
Well, you sure pack for a trip into town.
Sit down, George.
See fit to share this with me.
Sharing it now.
Anyone else see it happen?
You mean other than me?
I'm asking if you're sure what you saw.
I saw exactly what I've always felt about Donnie Weavoy. What you felt too, whether anyone will ever get you to admit it or not. And I saw that girl can't protect her child.
And on that account, you expect she's what, just gonna hand him over to you? Is that what you see happening? And when Lorna says no, Margaret, Jimmy's her boy.
He's your grandson. George Blackledge.
And your plan for finding him?
Donnie's from somewhere in North Dakota. I'll find him. You better know me well enough by now.
Oh, yeah. I do.
I won't be coming back here without him.
Nope. And you're going with me or without me?
That's your choice. You're not coming.
I'm turning off the water. Don't want to come home to busted pipes.
What would you do to rescue your child? When I became a dad 5 years ago, I gained a whole new understanding of what love is. My love for Darcy had to grow. I can actually remember the moment that I fell in love with her, but that love had to mature to become more sacrificial. Now I would give my life for her. That's not how it happened at the beginning. Now with my sons, it's a different story. Instantly, when I found out that Darcy was pregnant, I was totally in love. And then I held my sons in my hands, and I knew that I would give anything for them. Ultimate love is sacrificial love. Mature love is sacrificial love. None of us really just fall in love. We can fall into lust, but not into love. We start loving when we just stop making everything about ourselves. That's when love floods into the empty space that our selfishness left behind. And that kind of sacrificial, unconditional love can actually become very overwhelming. Because with that kind of love comes a lot of pressure. It comes with a desire to protect and provide. And that's a heavy weight. It can really get overwhelming. The strange thing is that my boys can't possibly understand. Now, they love me, but they don't feel that same pressure. In a way, their love for me has not yet matured. It's still somewhat conditional. If I mistreat them, if I fail to provide for them or to protect their mom, it's possible that their love for me could fade. But I don't think there's anything that they could do to make me stop loving them. And I'm flawed. So if I can love that much, how much more can a perfect heavenly Father love? Because we can't imagine any love greater than the love that we have for our kids, but God loves you even more than your love for your kids. Because He is perfect and His love is perfect. He would do anything for you. And here's the cool thing, He can. He can do anything. His love is that big and His power is just as big. There is nothing He can't do, and He will do anything for you to protect you. The problem is sometimes it feels like He doesn't love us or that He isn't powerful enough to help us. That's because we ask Him for things and we don't get them. It's because sometimes He's not too concerned with protecting our physical needs or protecting our bodies. He knows that we are much more than these bodies. We are infinite beings that are temporarily living in finite bodies. We are eternal beings who are loved by an eternal God, by an all-powerful eternal God. In fact, that God allowed the physical, the temporary body of His own Son to die, so that our souls could have eternal hope. This is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. The death of Jesus Christ is not some fairy tale, and it's not just some historical event. It is the hinge point of all eternity. It is literally the hinge point of our calendars, of all history. And it is the act of love that gives us eternal hope, because the death of His finite body purchased your infinite life. The Apostle Paul said, "Does it mean He no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death?" No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ, who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. We were created in the image of God. And we were created to love like He loves. That's why a father who harms his children is such strong evidence that we are fallen humans. We are sinful. How far from the image that God created us in have we fallen when a father is able to harm his children? That is pure evil. But even when we have the best intentions, we fall short. And there's forgiveness. And even when we love sacrificially, sometimes we're not strong enough to keep things from coming between us and our kids. We were created in God's image, but we're not God. Our strength will fail. In this fallen world, things will come between you and your kids. So what will it be? What will come between you and your kids? Sin. Maybe it's the sin of your kids that will cause them to separate from you, to rebel against you. Or it could be the sin of someone else who's trying to come between you and your kids. Or it could be our sin causing us to fail to love our children. In this world, sin causes pain. But when we are children of the Heavenly Father, we are forgiven. So no sin, no hell, no Satan, nothing can come between us and Him. George and Margaret had a long journey to find Lorna and Jimmy in North Dakota. And when they found them, they were living with their new grandma, Blanche, who is a terribly violent and angry person. But eventually, George and Margaret were able to get Lorna away from Blanche long enough to have a conversation with her in a diner.
I was going to write once we got settled. It's kind of a last minute decision coming here.
That Donnie's decision.
You met Blanche?
Well, we found you. That's what's important. Jimmy looks bigger. He's growing so fast.
He's counting to 10 now. He used to just say the words, you know, but now he understands they go in order. And I'm working with him on his alphabet. He can spell his name.
Oh, smart, right from the start. Mm.
He misses you, both of you.
We miss him too. Both of you. That's what we wanted to talk to you about, Lorna. And I won't beat around the bush. I remember when James first introduced us. This wonderful girl he told us so much about. So beautiful and funny and no family of her own.
Thought you weren't going to beat around the bush. Have to be back at the store by 1. Just get to it.
All right. Here it is. Let Jimmy come back with us. Not just a visit, I mean, for good.
You want me to give Jimmy to you? Want me to give up my son?
You know he'd have a good home, one he knows, one he remembers.
Stop.
You know the schools he'd go to, the teachers.
No, stop, I can't hear this.
I saw Donnie hit Jimmy on the street. I saw him hit you, and it didn't look like a first time. A little or a lot, no amount's good. That's why
you came
here.
To take him.
Lorna, we came to help. Whatever the situation is, Jimmy can't stay there. Can't stay here.
He needs his mother.
Then come with us. You and Jimmy, we'll take care of you. Live with us, like before.
Tuna.
You come and stay with us.
There you go.
He'd kill me. Him and his mother. She couldn't care less if I fell off the face of the earth, really, but she'd never let me go. Or Jimmy. Donnie got away from her once. She's never going to let that happen again. I don't want Jimmy to grow up like them. Don't want him to be like them.
Then you know what's right. Honey, you want us to drive you out there? We can do that. Right now. Right, George? The three of us, we can get Jimmy, pack you up, take you...
No, no. I'll meet you. Everybody's usually asleep by midnight. I'll have to wait. to be sure.
We should come get you, sweetheart.
No. This is the way. The safest way, trust me.
That's what everyone wants most, isn't it? For you and Jimmy to be safe, you know? And happy. We're out of the Moonwink.
Okay.
Cabin 7 at the Moonwink
Mall. I heard you. I know where it is. I should be there by 2. But we have to leave right when I get there. No waiting.
Get out.
Oh, no, he's all right, Margaret. He's fine.
Yeah? Maybe you want to try talking this over again now, huh? Like reasonable folks? Or maybe you'd prefer getting some sleep so you can get an early start back home tomorrow.
Or maybe you'd like to send him home. Well, you stay on here for a spell. I could take you back when you're ready. Of course, by then, you might decide you want to stay.
It's okay. It's okay. Easy, girl. Easy, girl.
Stop right there. You stay away from us.
Please. Nani.
What do you want me to do?
And make sure he can't pull a gun on us again.
No!
Ready.
No! No!
No!
No! No!
Come on, Donnie. Come on! See?
Donnie! Donnie, don't! Donnie!
Donnie!
Please, Donnie! Please, Donnie! Please!
Do it, boy!
Don't do it! Don't do it!
Do it, boy!
Donnie! Don't do it!
Donnie.
Don't do it!
I don't know if you know this, but when people die, it's ugly. It's not a pretty sight. It's not clean or easy. But unconditional love has no limits. I'll warn you that this next scene is very violent. After he tried to get help from the local sheriff, George realized that the only way he could rescue his grandson from this abusive stepdad and stepgrandmother was to sneak into the farmhouse and take them by force.
Settle. To decide, go or stay.
Anna?
Not you. It's just up to her. You know what life will be. Here or there, you know. This isn't something you need to think on.
I'll go.
You know the car? It's at the bottom of the drive. The keys are in it. Drive straight to the sheriff's office in Bent Rock. Ask for Nevelson.
Bent Rock.
Sheriff Nevelson. He'll sort this out.
Jimmy's things.
No.
I need to know.
Out now.
Well, what about you?
Just go. Just go. Quiet as you can. Take the front door.
Grandpa.
This scene reminds me of the time in Jesus' life when he would rescue people from their terrible circumstances. Then he would say to them, "Now go and sin no more." In other words, don't stick around and collect your things. Don't try to take from your old life into your new life. Just run. Run to God and away from everything that is holding you back, everything that is hurting you. There's a story in the Bible where Jesus heals a crippled man. And he had been crippled for 38 years. And Jesus healed him. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and told him, "Now you are well, so stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." I'm rescuing you and giving you new life, so don't turn back to your old life and don't try to take things with you. It's George saying to Lorna, "No, run, don't look back. Don't take anything with you, and definitely don't marry another man like the one you married before." The last 15 minutes of this movie is a really gory fight scene where George did rescue his grandson and daughter, but it's not the nice, neat, happy ending that we hope for. George, a retired cop, knew how to get Lorna and Jimmy out of there, but he knew he would have to die to save them. He conquered evil, but evil conquered him in the process. It's a sad ending because George died, but it's a happy ending because George fulfilled his mission. Nothing was going to stop him from rescuing his grandson. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, love each other in the way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend." The good news is that Christ died for us, but he did more than that. Jesus wasn't only a man, he's God. And God died, then rose from that death. Our happy ending truly is the greatest ending. Our Savior gave up his life to free us from the pain that we're in. Then he rose from the dead so that we could spend eternally with him, so we could rise too. Hollywood can't match that story. It just sounds too good to be true. It's almost too happy to be realistic, but it's more real than anything else. God's love for you is unconditional, and he will stop at nothing to set you free. If you'll just say yes, if you'll just tell him, "Yes, I'm ready to come home. I'm ready to leave this life behind." If you're watching this today and you don't have a personal relationship with your Heavenly Father, he is knocking on your heart's door, ready to come in. And he's asking, "Will you come home? Will you come to me? Will you step into your new life, leave your old life behind, and become who I created you to be?"
When I was growing up, we used to go to another church in town, larger church in town, that had one of those Easter cantatas where they would reenact the Easter story. I know New Life used to do it before I was here. And they would reenact the whole Easter story on Easter. And they would do the whipping, and they'd whip a guy that I knew from somewhere else. And it looked like they were nailing his hands to a cross. And the whole time I'm thinking, we're in church. How is this okay? How are you letting us watch this? And it's because the people who put those on were reminding us that what Jesus did was not some nice, clean, easy, spiritual thing that didn't have any earthly consequences or any pain or sorrow. It's because they were reminding us, no, what Jesus suffered was a terrible thing. Because it is only by seeing Jesus' suffering that we can fully understand Jesus' love. And it is that love that gives us the hope in this world that we so desperately need. We're all mourning today. This weekend, we lost Sherry Persifield. You've walked by her many times coming in, and she shaked your hand and given you hugs. And this weekend, I read on Facebook what Morgan, Sherry's granddaughter, posted about Sherry's death. Morgan graduated from high school last year. She was a teen and New Life Youth, and she posted this: "Today I'm hurting. My family is hurting. We lost my grandma today. It hurts. It is so painful and one of the worst things I've ever experienced. And yet somehow I still have peace. I just wanted to share this because I want everyone to know why. God. And let me just say God. But a perfect, not just God, but a perfect God who created my grandma and loved her. And boy, my grandma knew he did. She had a way with people. And she was such a light. She always shared Jesus. She loved people so fiercely. And that is why I have peace. Because I know that she is now spending eternal life with Jesus in heaven. And oh my people, if I could sum this up in a couple of words, it would be this. My heart longs for people to know Jesus so that when your time comes, your family can have peace too. And be confident that you've gone to be with Jesus. I am also confident in knowing that God is with my family in these moments of loss. The only way I know that we will get through this is to draw near to God, because he will bring us peace. Even though we may not understand why or what he is doing, we can have comfort because my grandma is with him." Then she quoted John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Peace, hope. In this world, we will have trouble. In this world, you will experience pain. And there is no promise. In fact, that you are going to experience that pain. We are not promising some fairy tale life that has no pain. But God, in the pain, gives peace. But in order to have access to that peace, in order to have access to that hope, you need to have a relationship with him. So if today maybe you're recognizing that maybe there is more to this life than just what you've been experiencing. And my invitation to you is, if you're ready to start a relationship with God, I'm not talking about pray a prayer so you get into some club and a get out of hell free card. I'm saying start a relationship with God, and it starts with a conversation in which you just say, "Hey, God, I believe you're real. Will you forgive me of my sins? Thank you for dying for me. I want to start a relationship with you. Amen." And just have a conversation with him. Pray to him, something like that. And I believe that he will give you peace and he will give you hope. That your life is not just a painful thing that you experience temporarily and then end up rotting in the ground, but it is much more than that. If you're ready to make a commitment like that, there's a card in the back of the seat in front of you that says, "I have decided." Would you grab one of those cards and fill it out? You can either bring it up here after the service and hand it to somebody. They'd love to talk to you about the decision that you're making. Or you can fill out the card and drop it in one of the boxes in the back of the room on your way out. But we'd like to pray for you. We'd like to know about the commitment that you're making today. God, I love you and I thank you for your sacrifice. I thank you for dying to make it possible for us to be your children. Thank you for your love. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.